It's time to lean back and buckle in. This ain't your grandma's early learning podcast. Then again, your grandma probably didn't know what a podcast was. Hey, moms and dads, puppies and kittens, caregivers and advocates, it's time for Shakin' Bones. Here's Dan and Amy.
Hey, everybody. Shakin' Bones producer Jeff Johnson here. Want to apologize. We recorded a batch of episodes and ended up with some bad sound. It wasn't apparent when we were recording. It was a little bit of static when we recorded, and I thought I could fix it. I couldn't. We're releasing the episodes anyway because it's good content, and you know, we thought those who wanted to sludge through it could get something from it. Working on fixing the problems, and we'll be back after these episodes with some good, clear sound is the plan. Thanks for listening to the show, and Dan and Amy are off to a great start, and we're glad you're tuning in. And sorry again for the ickiness and the sound in this episode.
Hi there, welcome to the Shaking Bones podcast. I'm Dan Hodgins,
and I'm Amy Ahola.
And Amy and I are together today, and we're going to talk about I'm Sorry, which is called the Get Out of Jail Card. And Amy and I hang around, and we tackle some untouchable subjects sometimes. Sometimes we might challenge your beliefs. We might even stretch your comfort zone just a little. But most importantly, we want to make you think. We don't expect that you have to agree or disagree. But what we do hope is to cause some shaking bones. You know, Amy, this story thing, I had a child named Eric, and he would come in the classroom, and the very first thing he would yell out is, I'm sorry, and he hadn't done anything yet in terms of that process. But he had figured out early that all he had to do was say he was sorry, and people would stay out of his face.
Yeah, I have a couple of children who have learned it very early as well that, you know, all I have to do is say I'm sorry and I can do whatever I want.
Well, and isn't that what it really, I mean, when we ask children to say they're sorry, we're really saying to children, I want you to lie about your feelings.
Yeah.
So when, and then in some cases, I've been in programs to observe, and teachers will say, okay, hug Sarah and say your story. And I'm thinking that's an invitation to bite Sarah.
Yeah, or to, you know, squeeze her head off.
Exactly. Especially when they have no idea about what that concept of sorry means.
Exactly. I mean, you know, what we're really looking at is, you know, adults are trying to get a child to be empathetic when empathy is not something that you can teach. It's something that needs to be modeled. And it's a concept that is very complex. And young children just aren't to that stage yet because they're so egocentric. Empathy requires them to see something from another person's point of view. And they're not there yet.
Well, in most cases, they're not sorry, you know,
right.
Because somebody took their toy or somebody took their prop or somebody got too close to them. And if you were really to ask a child, aren't you sorry for that? They'd probably say, no, I'm not sorry. Because they're not in most cases because somebody did something to me. And, of course, like you said, they're egocentric, so they believe the world surrounds them. So sorry is such an abstract thought. And I keep thinking it's not the word that's important, it's the actions that are important. And how many adults do you know that don't demonstrate sorry?
There are a lot of them.
Yes. And yet we expect children to understand the concept, but adults really don't have the concept. They might say sorry, but then their actions don't follow through with the process. So I agree with you. I think that empathy is definitely something that you don't teach. It's something that you model. So I'm okay with adults saying around children, I'm sorry that he hit you. You know, I'm okay with that. What do you think?
Definitely. And, you know, I think it's important for us to model that empathy for young children, or when, you know, when a child is hurt, I'm sorry that you got hurt, or different pieces there so that they're hearing it. But definitely, you know, the forced apologies, the, you know, look at this, look at that child's face. You know, that's one of the ones that really drives me bonkers, because when you're asking them to look at another child, again, you're asking them to read that other child's emotion. And a lot of times their emotional intelligence and the vocabulary around emotions isn't there yet. And they're not concerned about how that other child is looking or how that other child is feeling. They're concerned about how is this impacting me. And so it's really... You know, I feel like when we ask children to do things like that, we're taking a lot of steps back, and we teach them, we indirectly teach them that, okay, you can, like I said, there are children who will do whatever they want, and because they know all they have to do is say they're sorry, because they think that that's going to fix everything, or that's going to allow them to do whatever they want to do.
Well, and like you said, if we say to a child, I want you to look at her face, I mean, that says, again, to the child, okay, I've looked at it, so.
So what?
You know, do you want me to spit at her, or do you want me to spit at him? Now that I see the face, yes, I can do that, you know. Again, the concept of, I understand what adults would like to happen. They would like adults. They would like children to grow up to be adults who would follow through with empathy. I am not sure, well, I know for a fact, that we don't get that by practicing early with children by using the word sorry in that approach. It really creates opportunities that are just the opposite. Because again, like you said, children is simply going to say it and then go back to whatever they needed to do to make them feel successful, whether or not that's continually getting another child or taking something away, because the sorriness is not relevant at this point.
You know, they're sorry that they got caught. They're, you know, or they're not sorry for what their actions are or where that's at. But, it doesn't mean that we're not going to go in and help them work on their social skills. It's just not using the term, I'm sorry. And, you know, I've had a lot of situations because, of course, when something does happen, I go to the child who is the one who's crying. And, you know, I try to help them talk to the child who hit them or, you know, whatever happened, and ask them if they need me to help them talk, you know, help them talk. So most of the time that means I'm just standing there while I, as a physical support for that child while they talk to the other child. And, you know, a lot of times with the children who have been programmed to say, I'm sorry, the first thing out of their mouth when the other child tries to talk to them was, well, I said I'm sorry. And so, you know, it's just a matter of getting them to realize that, you know, you can say you're sorry all you want, but that's not going to solve this conflict or this problem. So it's almost like you have to deprogram them from that concept to work with them on how to really, truly work on conflict resolution.
Yeah, we used to have a child named Eric, and he would call everybody butt face. As soon as you came in the classroom, he would yell out, hey, you butt face. And it got to the point where the students at the beginning were actually encouraged, the college students were actually trying to encourage him to not say butt face, but to into be a more, demonstrate more empathy towards. So what he did was, instead of yelling out, hey, you butt face, he would whisper, hey, you butt face. And he thought that was being more empathetic in terms of the process. It had nothing to do with what they expected in terms of their approach, but the child put it in terms of what he needed to do to avoid them doing anything else with him in terms of the actions.
And how much power did that give him when he'd walk in and do that?
Oh, my gosh. And I would go up to children who would cry and say, is your name Butt Face? No, well, you need to tell him because he forgets a lot. And to me, that demonstrates more empathy, more respect, than trying to get the child who's calling somebody a Butt Face to demonstrate more feelings of sorrow.
Definitely.
So I think part of maybe our practice, what you indicated earlier, which I like a lot, is how do we model empathy in our spaces out there? And I think we need to step back sometimes and look at how is that modeling occurring? I mean, even the way we exchange with each other as adults in the classroom will model empathy. Oh, I'm really sad that one of the co-teachers is out sick with the cold. I hope she feels better soon. I mean, those kinds of conversations, I think, model empathy.
Yes, and, you know, giving children, like you said, you're feeling sad, working early to validate their feelings when they're having, you know, if they're angry, if they're upset, or they're disappointed. Just the other day, one of the little girls here was having a really hard time because it was time to pick up, and, you know, it was time for her to be picked up, and she didn't want to leave yet because she wanted to draw a picture. Well, at snack time in our art area is also where snack is, we had an accident that caused the floor to be quite a mess, and so afterwards we had to mop the floor before we could get back in for safety, and there was sticky juice on the floor and that type of thing, so of course we had to let it dry before we could let them come back in, and she was picked up before we were able to get back into that space. And so she was just really upset. And, you know, and when she was upset, just letting her know, I know you're upset. And just, you know, giving them those words. And she goes, no. And she, I'm disappointed. And it was just like, this is awesome. We're getting somewhere because we've used the words around the children long enough so that they're able to come up with what their own feelings are. Because before they can understand what somebody else might be feeling, they need to understand how they're feeling. And that was just, you know, that was huge for that little one to, you know, to be able to express exactly what she was feeling at that point.
Yes, huge. I mean, because we're not, like you said, for a child to really be empathetic towards another child, they have to leave their body and go into another child's body to recognize what that child is feeling, understanding. And that is really, really difficult for young children. Actually, it's difficult for adults. But
I was going to say I have trouble with that sometimes myself.
You know, and to expect that children are going to be empathetic by using certain words like sorry doesn't have the approach that will really get the result that they want later on. So for that child to demonstrate that by using her words really says that the child is beginning to look at that process and to go outside her and to look at others, too. And that's really difficult for young children. I keep thinking the number of children who simply push, if there's only a few tricycles outside, they push to get that tricycle. And again, it's not because the child is mean. We don't have enough tricycles for everyone. So I'm going, you know, as soon as you put them out, that invites children to trample over each other to get them. And I've heard some adults say, well, if you can't be nice about it, and I'm not sure what that word means, then you're not going to have a turn. And I'm thinking, wait a minute here. They probably thought being nice was to trample over the other seven kids to get to the tricycle.
And it had nothing to do with being nice to the other children. It was the one-tracked mind of, I need to be on that tricycle.
You bet. And whatever it takes is what it takes. And so to ask the child to not take a turn doesn't really teach empathy, because what's going to happen is the child is obviously going to be pretty upset about not getting a turn, so they're not going to be thinking about, well, I won't do this again, I won't do this again, I won't do this again. No, they're thinking, how long do I have to be off the trike?
And how can I get there faster next time?
Correct. Yeah, do I need to run faster over the children? You know,
yeah.
So part of it is looking at that whole opportunity of empathy really needs to be practiced in a way that is appropriate for young children and not necessarily an abstract thought by using the word sorry. What are some other ways that you help children demonstrate respect?
Well, I think respect is something that oftentimes we look out there and we say, you know, we expect children to respect us and respect rules and different things without truly respecting the child first. So, you know, a lot of ways to help children understand respect is to really respect them and to give the, you know, to give them the time and attention that they need to tell you something or the opportunity to work through something before we jump in. Because I think adults jump in a lot of times too soon. So to give them the opportunity to work things through themselves before we're dictating policy for them helps them learn a little bit of respect as well. I don't know if it's coming out as clearly what I'm trying to say.
Sometimes I wonder because I think that people think that teaching respect goes hand in hand with empathy. To recognize that others exist, et cetera, is that whole approach to teaching respect that really often contradicts what it is that we're hoping. Let me give an example. For example, if a child hits another child, I will say to the child who's hit, tell him you don't like your hand in your eyeball. I mean, I'm really that specific. Tell him you don't like his hand in your eyeball. I think models both respect and models empathy because you're saying to the child, this is what you want to say to him. Because he assumes that since your face is there, you must want my hand in it. And so frequently that kind of behavior is displayed by children. And often adults view that as disrespect, when in reality it has nothing to do with disrespect. It has to do with placement and what's important to me as a child being egocentric in their approach. So that kind of experience occurs frequently where we have children hitting other children or pushing other children or yelling at other children. And it's not that it doesn't, that it always occurs. But when there's an intrusion on another child's egocentric behavior, they're going to attack in some way. And so I find that children often will display that in what adults call disrespectful activity, when in reality it's just looking at what I need and going for it in that approach. Do you think that's true?
I definitely think that's true, and I think, you know, when we're talking about, you know, respect and disrespect, and again, it comes back to expectations, and, you know, from my point of view, it comes back to what expectations are we putting on this child, and what's really going on here, because what we're seeing is the product of something, the product of a child trying to meet a need. So if a child is hitting or a child is biting, it's a matter of looking at, okay, to be respectful to that child and the whole situation that's going on, we need to look at what needs is this child trying to meet and how can I help them meet this need in a way that is respectful to the environment and to the other children. You know, maybe it requires me changing the environment. Maybe if I only have 3 tricycles and there's pushing and things going on, I need to get more tricycles. You know, there are lots of different ways to look at where that's coming from, because how respectful is it to children to have 3 tricycles and 8 children? You know, in some of those aspects of it as well. But really, you know, looking at these terms that we, you know, respect and empathy and things that we expect as adults are not necessarily something that we should be imposing upon children because they're still practicing. They're still learning from their environment and learning from their experiences with other people where they're just not there yet.
Very true. And one of the concerns that we started out with the whole session is I'm worried that we're asking children to lie about their feelings. And I want feelings to be natural, and I want them to be truthful, and I want them to be honest in that approach. So if a child is mad, I want him or her to say, I'm mad at you. And if a child is really mad, they might say, I hate your guts. I'm okay with a child who says, you know, I hate your guts, because what they're really saying has nothing to do with your guts. It has to do with the fact that they are really angry, and it demonstrates a true feeling. Saying they're sorry doesn't really demonstrate a true feeling or a true action in that approach. So I think what adults want to create is an opportunity where children can really be honest about their feelings, and saying sorry certainly isn't part of that.
I agree. And, you know, feelings are a hard concept. A lot of adults don't know how to talk about their feelings. And so I think that's one of the reasons why it's difficult sometimes for us to work with children on having a good feelings vocabulary and really understanding, you know, how they're feeling when different things happen. We work really hard to make sure that all feelings are okay because, you know, in our society, a lot of feelings are often looked as good or bad, and really feelings aren't good or bad, they just are. And it's a matter of making sure that children understand and they feel safe enough to say, I hate your guts. Because if they're in a climate where that's not respected, and again, you know, that anger is not permitted, then it's all internalized and children end up with lots of psychological problems down the line.
Sure, and I think part of it is realizing that being sorry, again, has nothing to do with the words, that it has to do a lot with actions, and they're just not there yet support that. Well, we're at the time of the closing again of another podcast. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I think it's really important, Amy and I both agree, that I think it's really important that we not ask children to say they're sorry, and that what we really want is that adults to model empathy, because modeling empathy is how children learn respect and empathetic behavior. Thanks so much for letting us shake some bones again. If you have questions or want continued discussion, you can email me at dkj5075@aol.com or Amy at...
You can reach me via email as well at amyahola@hotmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook at Child Central Station.
So next time you're about to say you're sorry, catch yourself. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
This has been Shaking Bones. Dan and Amy will be back next week for more Bone Rattling. Stay tuned.